All right, we are on page 89. We've got two sections to finish up, and then we will be done with Deborah. We have been talking about Deborah, and now if you're following in the Bible, it's in chapter 4 of Judges, verses 1 through 16 is where the lesson text comes from. And we are just about done with this. We have been taking our time with it, trying to make sure that everyone is on the same page, and some things that you may have knew, may have known, that you have a better understanding of, or you may see it in a different light. And when you tell someone else about what you know that you're talking about, even though memory may fail sometimes, you will still be able to relate the understanding that you have rightly, and not tell somebody something and go with something like that, because that's not helping people. Anytime if we don't have it exactly right, we can always go to the Bible. If we can't get to it right then, we can tell people, I'll get back to you. And we try to do that as best we can and remind them of what you were talking about and show them in Scripture what thus says the Lord. As I said, on page 91, we're picking up with the Lord's victory. We have been studying about the Israelites coming into the promised land and not doing what they were supposed to be doing, and how he raised up judges to assist them or try to guide them back into doing what they're supposed to do. And this one particular judge that he raised up, who we are studying about now, is Deborah. She is so important because she is the first and only woman judge. So it shows us, above anything else, that God uses who he pleases, and he puts no one else, no one above anyone else. And as though we may not realize it, it's God's work. He does what he pleases. He created everything, and what we have to do is accept it. We may not want to, but it's the best for us. So, any comments on what we've studied already so far? Any questions or comments? If not, we'll go right into the section, the Lord's victory, on page 91. I guess I wanted to read that. Care to? Okay.
Before proceeding with the story of Barak, the author of Judges added the parenthetical note. Heber the Canaanite had moved away from his clan's territory southwest of Jerusalem, northward to the region of Kadesh, Barak's city. Heber's wife, Jael, struck the final blow of the battle in Judges 4, 17 through 21, when she killed Sisera after he took refuge in her tent. When Sisera heard that Barak had assembled, it looked to be a minor skirmish. He gathered his 900 chariots of iron, assembled his army, and waited for Barak beside the river Kishon. Deborah gave the command. She told Barak it was time for him to move against the Israelites' enemy. God would give the victory to his people. Barak led his army toward Sisera, chariots, and God gave the victory. The Canaanites fell by the sword. Barak pursued the enemy and destroyed them all. But Sisera, the man whom Barak wanted most, escaped. Sisera's escape offers a hint about the means by which God gave Israel victory. The record says he alighted from the chariot and fled away on foot. This is in Judges 4:15. Why will the men who had placed his trust in iron chariots abandon them? Deborah's song in the following chapter provides more information. The earth trembled, she says, and the heavens poured the clouds, also poured water. The torrent of Kishon swept them away, she says. God sent a flood, which the land soggy and the rivers overflowing. Iron chariots gave Sisera no advantage. God fought for Israel.
Okay. Thank you. As we recall, Barak didn't want to go and fight. at first. Because even though Deborah told him, God has called upon you to take care of this incident, he believed her, but his faith was lacking. So he told her that I'll go if you go with me. That was like his proof or his confidence, which we sometimes do today. We put confidence in people instead of putting confidence in God. But she told him, first off, that if she went with him, she was going to go with him. And he reluctantly goes, he would win the victory, but he wouldn't get credit for it. The credit was going to go to a woman. And we see here, it mentions this, that our scripture text doesn't go into chapter 5, and it doesn't complete this chapter, but throughout the rest of this chapter, from 17 to 23, it relates the story of exactly what happened and how Jael, how she conquered Sisera. And he put his confidence in her, which was not good. But all this was God's plan laid out beforehand. It's amazing how afterward we can see what God's plan is. But in the beginning, and in our lives too, the odds seem great. As we said, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's why we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. Put our faith in the Lord, trust in Him, pray to Him. And even when things don't look like it's going to work. But so oftentimes, in our lifetime, we'll see situations that we don't know what the outcome is going to be. We pray. Sometimes it seems like our prayers are not answered. And our faith get a little rickety, a little shaky. But we have to remain strong. And after it's over with, then we see the results. Then we know that God was with us. Now, in this story, everything that went through, God had put in place. You didn't see that in the beginning. You didn't know that in the beginning. Even though Deborah told him he was going to be victorious. But everything worked out the way God had planned it. The rains came. It probably was a sunshiny day in the beginning when they first started fighting. I'm just assuming. I don't know. Maybe it was cloudy. But they probably didn't expect that much rain. And at the spot where they fought at, once the water came, it got soggy. God told him where to go. Sisera ran and thought he had got away. Look what happened in the end. The very person that he ran to was the one that caused his end. So what does that tell us each day that we live? Trust in the Lord. Sometimes it seems like it's rough. We don't see how it's going to happen. But if it's God's will, and that is the most important thing we have to remember, if it's God's will, because we pray sometimes and we desire stuff and we want stuff, and we, especially when it's really important to us, we pray hard. We pray earnestly. And it seems like we don't get no answer. You know, we're looking for God to work right now. As soon as we finish praying, or within a couple of days, or, you know, I got this shoulder. I've been praying for God to stop this shoulder from hurting. And every morning I wake up, seem like it hurt more than it did the day before. But at God's time, it will stop aching. And I'll be able to use it when it's necessary for me to use all the rest of the stuff I want to do, what I want to do, I have a problem. But when things come up that I need to do for God, I'll be able to do it, won't have no problem with the shoulder or nothing. But we find that out afterwards in the comments. Yes?
Well, I think throughout history in the Bible, it tells us how God will fight for his people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the main thing for us to take away from this is God's will prevail.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who you are and what status you have in life, you can't fight God.
Right.
You know, look how many people have tried.
Mm-hmm.
All the way through Israel, you know, Israel leaving Egypt, all the way through all of their trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much they fight, God's will prevail. And I think that's something we need to learn.
Yes, that's really an important thing we need to learn. It came to my mind, and I can't tell you what scripture it is, but I know that it is in there. But the Lord said that you have not because you ask not. And then we pray, and we pray earnestly. We pray, which the Lord still says, when you ask for the wrong reason. You know, well, okay. I've been looking at this car I want, and once I get it, you know, I'll be able to bring a whole lot of people to church, and I'll be able to do a whole lot of work for the Lord. And I just know if I had this, it'll work. Of course, I'll be looking good riding around in it, you know, when I'm not doing work for the Lord, and it's exactly the kind of car I want. And I'm really looking for the Lord. And I'm praying to the Lord every day, Lord, help me get this car. I really don't want to get this car. Don't let nobody else buy it before I get to it. Do I really want this for the Lord, or do I really want this for me? Because I think how I'm going to look, what I'm going to do, I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm going to bring people to church. And then I'm going to get the praise for that, you know, which is going to put me up. I'm more focused on me than focused on what should be doing. And then the Lord makes it so I can get a van. I can get a lot of people to church in a van, but that ain't what I wanted, because that's what I look like riding around town in a van. You know, I'm so much confidence focused on me. We have not, because we ask not, and then when we ask for the wrong reason. As you said.
I think we also have to learn that God says no sometimes.
Oh, yes.
And God's no's are usually a blessing to us. I keep thinking of that song, I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers.
Okay.
Because a lot of times God says no, and then later on, if you look back on it,
mm-hmm.
you thank God for having said no.
Yeah.
Because you would have ended up in a really bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
Everything God does for us has a purpose. Whether mm-hmm. it's we think he says no, or whether he blesses us with what we ask for,
mm-hmm.
it's always to our benefit. Nothing God does is for his benefit, because he don't need that. Okay?
That's right.
Everything he does, whether it's yes or no, it is for our benefit.
Mm-hmm. And so many times, his no is not just point blank no. It may be not right
maybe
now.
Maybe later.
Yeah,
exactly.
not right now, but we want it like yesterday.
Yeah,
yes.
The verse that came to mind as soon as we talked about that was Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways.
Yeah.
God's purpose, and when, like she said, when you think back on all the times that God said no or not right now, it turned out better than you could
exactly.
even imagine.
Every time.
say, oh, I didn't think of that one, or I didn't think of this particular whatever, and it always came out better, and then you're thanking God, wow, why didn't I trust him in the first place?
That's it.
You know? So that's the verse to remember, Isaiah 55.
That's the thing.
Go ahead. God doesn't just bless us when we want things.
Right.
Or think we need things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of times through the storm, mm-hmm. he has been blessing us beyond what we could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And hindsight is great, right?
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Before us. His presence
James 4 is where that one verse you're speaking of is.
Okay.
You don't have what you want because you don't ask them.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Now, of course, we have example. If I'm not mistaken, when Sarah wanted a child,
mm-hmm.
25 years passed before that was fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
So the lesson that's there is God will answer in his good time.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he knows what is right. And so, of course, we as children of God who are trying to mature in the faith must learn to wait on him.
That's
so
it.
We see also what happens when you try to do things.
You help him out.
Yeah. You know, God does not need our advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right. Because we are impatient people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even the word today, that's the one of the slogans we've heard, have it your way. You know, you can get it now, you know. Everything is fast, instant. Instant this, fast food, you know. You put it in order, it just comes, you know. We want it. Just snap my fingers. It's almost like we can't have the genie in the bottle, but we can get it as fast as we want, you know, and that's good. Yeah.
I think sometimes it's not even, the answer is not about us. If he says no to you, it's because we needed someone else to do that.
That's it.
Or have that. Mm-hmm. So we need to accept that that's
a role that you play in someone else's life. Yeah. If you didn't do that, you know what I mean? That's just
interesting you should say that, a role you play in someone else's life. Why do we get blessed anyway?
God is
merciful. Yeah. But he uses who to do what? He uses us to bless others. So
we want to be his servants.
Yeah, we are his servants. Disciples, servants, we're serving God. Well, we bless others by what he gives us. So when he blesses us with plenty, it's not for us to have a table full of food and we sit there and get glutton. It's for us to invite people. Come on, come to the feast. You know, you ain't got to pay nothing. You just, I want to do this for you. You know, let me share it with you. You know, we have a little money. We want to help people. I don't walk around with $1,000 bill in my pocket. $1,000 bill looks nice. But what good is it if I can't spend it? All I just keep showing $1,000. I got $1,000. What good am I doing with it? What good am I doing for the Lord? What good am I doing for myself? Just waving $1,000 bill.
You can't break that just anywhere.
No. But then, you know, you don't see everybody with $1,000 bill every day, you know. I'm just saying. But, you know, you got to do something with it, you know. And then once you use it, it's gone. Trust in the Lord. He'll give you what you need. Didn't need to wave that around. I needed to do something with it, you know. Spread it around to others. How many people can I help with that? Then God will bless me with maybe 2,000. More people to help. Yes?
I wish I could remember the play that this phrase came from. Please excuse the rudeness. But there's a phrase in the play where someone makes a statement, manure, money is like manure.
Mm-hmm.
It's only good if you spread it around.
Yeah. Very true statement. Very true statement. Yeah. We have to remember what our purpose is. And if we remember that, that'll keep us grounded and rooted, and we can continue to do work for the Lord. Like Judah said, only what we do for the Lord, that's what's important, not for to please us. Good comments.
And if we don't know what that is, if we ask him to show us.
Yes, yes. That should be in the prayer. I thought you were going to say that.
Yeah, and that's true. Yeah, we are all gifted, if you will. God has granted us talents that are unique to every one of us.
Yeah.
Whether it's art or you grew, your employment made you an engineer or a roofer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your experiences. You have that experience. And so you can share that with the brethren in need.
Yeah.
There's always a need, and so that's a gift. And so when sometimes people are quote-unquote soul-searching, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? Be prepared for the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be honest and be prepared. Pray for it. And when someone comes up out of the blue and said, you need to be the church secretary,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you know, that example, that could have been your sign.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to be ready to see it, too.
Exactly.
It may be something smaller than you think, too. You know what I mean? Communication or, you know, any number of things. You're looking for this big, grandiose, like, this is my purpose, but it might be right there for you.
Exactly. It takes an army, as they say, or it takes a village, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have the village baker. You got to have the village tanner. It takes a village. And so same with the Lord's body.
That's it.
Have needs of all kinds and every kind.
Many parts. We all, think, all of us are. All of us are a part. Yes.
Well, I agree with Chuck. You know, God has given each one of us an ability.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to step out of faith.
That's it.
And that's sometimes very, very hard to do.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a very young Christian over in Hopewell, Billy Harper came to me and he said, I want you to teach the 2 and 3-year-olds. I said, I don't know enough. I said, I'm still a young Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how am I going to teach these little, you know, it sounded like a mountain was put before me and now I'm supposed to climb this thing.
Yeah.
He said, Judy, you teach your kids at home, don't you?
There you go.
Said, yeah. He said, that's the same thing. Step out in faith. The Lord will give you what you need.
And that's it.
He'll
give you what you need when you need it. Yep.
And by stepping out in faith, you're going to find you grow spiritually.
Oh, yeah.
You learn more and more to trust in the Lord to guide you and to give you what you need to accomplish the job that He wants you to do. He's not going to leave you and tell you, you know, you need to do and then leave you with no help.
Right.
God says, I'm already there. I'm with you, you know. Just step out and do it.
That's His promise. He'll be with us always. Our drawback or our downfall is I know what the Lord said, but, you know, I know I should do this, but. Well, why don't you? Well, I can't do it like, I can't teach like Judy can. I can't sing like so and so. I can't speak. I can't pray. Do you do these things, like you said, at home? Or if you haven't never done it, you have faith in the Lord that He will carry you through it? I heard somebody say once, well, I probably have said to myself, I'll be like Barack, whoever, that was the lesson. I'll go this place and that place. I don't mind getting on a boat, but I ain't going to get on the airplane. God will trust me. I mean, God will protect me on the boat. He's not going to protect me if I get on the airplane. But then I go right out here in the street and get hit by a bus. I never thought about that. You know, I heard one person do in the sermon once, think about how close you are to death, when you ride down the street, you know, the little double yellow line, mm-hmm. and the cars pass by you, mm-hmm. how close is that? It's how close you are to death every time you're out there. Never think about that, but no, I'm not getting on an airplane. I'm not getting on a boat. One lady would go on a trip, but every time she crossed the bridge, she got to go, oh, I can't look at that.
That's the fear.
Huh?
That's the fear.
Yes. This, you don't trust in the Lord.
But God can take that fear away.
Yeah, God yeah. can take that fear away, but just like, I'm not getting on no airplane. And yes, I trust in God, but I'm not getting on that airplane.
That's fine. That's fine. You have that prerogative. You have that right because God gave you free will. Now, I'm not going to argue with you. Yes.
We understand what's being said here. I guess I would just throw out this, that we do understand or come to the realization of our limitations.
Mm-hmm.
But also, in the same breath, knowing God has no limitations.
Right.
Okay? Because it specifically says, it says in Scripture, with God, nothing.
All things
is impossible.
That's right.
Nothing. Even your fear.
Yep.
Again, it's a matter of trust. It's a matter of growth. But until you get there, that's our issue. It's getting there, stepping out on faith, and then realizing, dear Lord, if this is the only way for me, if circumstances happen, and the scenario is, she needs to be somewhere in a little bit of time, someone paid for your plane ticket.
I might go.
There you go. So, I mean,
depends on the destination.
Again, it's a reality we all have to deal with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We do have fear. Mm-hmm. But again, it's also our responsibility to come to terms or come to understanding that God can help you through that.
And He will, if you put your faith and trust in Him.
Jesus did the same thing. Remember, He said, Lord, if there's any way that I don't have to do this, let me know. Take it.
Yes.
But He kept on going. Mm-hmm. The Lord didn't make a plane or a boat to carry Him anywhere else. He went through it and went
to
the cross for us.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, you gave.
Oh, I believe.
Yeah, you talked about what, you know, Jesus said, you know, if you can do that for me. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about Moses. Mm-hmm. You know, God comes to him and say, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And Moses says, I can't do that. I can't speak. Yeah. I can't. And I identify with this because that was my, I can't do this. I don't mm-hmm. know enough. You know, and Moses, I can't speak. Lord, I can't do this, you know.
Yeah.
But when the Lord says you got to do it, you got to do it, you know. And it's, and look how Moses grew.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, he was the leader at the end of it to lead these people, to guide them. And but in the beginning, look at the apostles, you know. People so fearful, they scattered every which way after Christ left. And look what happened to them later on.
Each one of them.
You will grow if you do the Lord's work.
Trust in Him. Lean not to your own understanding. And He will direct your path. Yep. Okay, let's do the conclusion and then this lesson will be over. Anybody? Okay.
Israel was to learn that prosperity and well-being were factors of their faithfulness to God. It was long, hard lesson. Christians read Judges for more than curiosity. The same God who wanted to bless His people in the Old Testament still wants to bless them. There are differences between Old and New Testament. The physical, national dimensions of God's blessings are less marked to Christians. But not all blessings were physical for Israel. A world of sin promises that Christians will endure some portion of pain and suffering. Knowing God allows for perspective on the world that those who do not know Him have trouble understanding. It's not true that all blessings for being a Christian are realized in this world, but it is true that blessings in this world are for those who are faithful to the Lord. Paul wrote of peace it passes understanding in Philippians 4:7. In Christ, there is a quiet assurance and a confident hope. Paul had no reluctance to write of joy even when he was in prison. Stable family, fellowship with God's people, a refuge in prayer, the joys of his kingdom are never failing. It remains true that richness and fullness in life are along the path of faithfulness to the Lord. The modern world could learn valuable lessons from the book of Judges.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. One thing that we have to keep in mind as we discuss, keep your trust in the Lord. The first time you step out on faith, well, let me change that, not the first time, there may be occasion when you have to step out on faith, and you be like, what up? You got faith in God and you got confidence, but you still a little shaky about how this is going to turn out because you don't know. You put your faith in God and you make it an attempt. So I used to always say, your husband used to always tease me about that. I'm going to make an attempt. I used to say that. I'll make an attempt. I'll make an attempt. God, you got me, right? You're going with me. And you go ahead. It may not work out the way you had planned it or the way you wanted it to. But as we just finished talking about it, it's going to work out for your good because God is carrying you through. After that experience, now you got a little something to stand on that you know. Well, I know for a fact, because I'm going to tell you, I didn't know how that was going to turn up. I was shaking like a leaf. I didn't know what was going to happen. But you made it through. The song we say, How I Got Over, we look back and we wonder. Well, you look back and you see, hey, it had to be nothing but God brought me through that. And you got a little bit more confidence for the next obstacle that comes up. Not saying it's going to work the same way. Maybe a little bit more problem. You're still not going to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But now your faith is a little bit more stronger, a little bit more sturdier. So you can go on, yeah, we need somebody to do something, so I'll do it. Never did it before, but I'll do it. Because I know the Lord helped me when I did this, so I can do this, so I'm going to make a try at it. And I'm doing it with the right reason, for the Lord. Have faith that he's going to carry me through. How can it fail? How? I mean, the devil will still be throwing stumbling blocks in your way, regardless if you go through with it or you don't. You know? So why not go through it for the Lord and let him help us? And we get a little bit more stronger, make our faith grow, and we speak, because once you go through, you got a testimony. We all have a testimony somewhere of something that we've done. We weren't too sure about it. We prayed about it. It didn't come out the way we thought it was. But we got a testimony. And we can help somebody else. So this is our lesson. In the comments, questions? We finished with Deborah. I know y'all glad. Woo! Our next one is going to be Gideon. Next week. Lord willing. Thank you all.
Thank you.